I'm on the news line with Dr. Jennifer Vodzak at Geisinger. She's a division director for pediatric infectious diseases and the director of the pediatric quality and safety at Janet Wise Children's Hospital. Dr. Vodzak, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me today.
I really do appreciate it. These are some of the questions that we get on our live talk show. Parents have questions. One question is this too new or is it still experimental for our kids? This time last year, we didn't have any kids' vaccine. This year, we do. That's kind of nerve-wracking.
Sure. We get this question a lot. We hear a lot of parents asking very smart and thoughtful questions about the vaccine. And overall, I think it has been really one of the biggest success stories that we've seen in vaccines overall, that we've been able to have smart people and smart scientists really thinking through this using technology that has been growing and developing over the past 30 years to be able to develop a vaccine like this for adults and now for children and now for even younger children, now ages 5 to 11. And so we're just really excited to see this vaccine be able to be manufactured and distributed at the rate it has been. I think it's a great tribute to the tremendous amount of science that has come around the development of this vaccine. So from my perspective, I'm really excited to see this vaccine available to be able to treat children. And I think that a lot of solid science has really been the foundation for being able to do this. So the science is not as new or as fast, although it seems that way with the speed that it has been able to come to market over the past 18 months.
And so you're not surprised, and you are ready to answer the kind of basic questions that we have today. You would expect parents to have, you know, a dozen or so questions or whatever.
Absolutely. I think parents they know their children well, and they want to do what's right for their children and really thinking about the health and well-being. So we're always happy to hear questions and have that discussion with families to be able to give them as best and up-to-date information that we can possibly provide and really have those discussions one-on-one with families.
And you are recommending the vaccine?
100%, yes. So this vaccine should be given to every person that's eligible to receive it. And now that we've expanded the eligibility for COVID vaccine to the age groups of 5 to 11, every child who's eligible for this vaccine, I recommend that they get this vaccine. I think it is safe. I think the science that has supported us to get to this point is solid. And I really feel like this is the right thing to do, that parents can feel good about making the decision to get their children vaccinated for COVID.
What side effects should parents look out for?
Well, you know, we see side effects typically with lots of different kinds of vaccines, and COVID is pretty similar. When your child gets a vaccine, the idea is that we want your immune system to be able to react just a little bit to that vaccine. When the immune system does react to the vaccine, you're going to see some common things like fever, like soreness or in the arm or the site where the vaccine was given. You may see redness or even a little swelling at the site. Some children can feel tired. Sometimes they can have a headache for about 2 to 3 days after they get a vaccine. But these symptoms are very mild, and overall, these are the ones that we would expect to see and be ready to sort of get through over those 2 to 3 days after the vaccine. On the other hand, lots of children actually have no side effects from the vaccine and may do really well. So most of the COVID vaccine side effects that we talk about in terms of those typical ones are what we see with lots of the vaccines that we give. And that usually is a good sign. It usually means that your immune system is reacting the way it should to the vaccine. There's no way that you can actually get COVID from the vaccine. There's no live virus in the vaccine. So you cannot actually get sick in that way from getting the vaccine. And you'll probably feel a little tired and achy for those couple of days. And then usually by that second or third day, you're feeling better.
As parents are considering this vaccine or potentially waiting for the Moderna to be available for children or even Johnson & Johnson, where should parents find credible information?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's really hard these days, I think, to sort through some of the vast amounts of information that are at our fingertips. So there's a couple of key places where you can go. So, you know, being at Geisinger, we're always excited and able to offer information on our own website. If you're looking for the national sites for recommendations, I think there's a couple of key ones. The CDC website, the Center for Disease Prevention and Control, has really up-to-date and accurate information in terms of what's happening and information information about the vaccine. The American Academy of Pediatrics is a group that is supported by pediatricians across the country and really has a lot of thoughtful and careful information curated by pediatric experts across the nation. And so those are the two organizations that we usually really encourage families to really read that information and take it seriously and be able to trust and rely on that information.
How is the vaccine that children receive different than the ones that adults receive?
Yeah, it's a great question. So in the two age groups that we're now able to give COVID vaccine to, so the newest edition of 5 to 11-year-olds, and then, of course, we've been able to give vaccine for a bit of time now for the 12 to 17-year-olds. So the 5 to 11-year-old age group of the Pfizer COVID vaccine is a smaller dose, and it is given with a slightly smaller needle for the size of the dose in the syringe and that age group. And that really is based on studies. There are almost 3,000 children in the initial study that this was decided on. And when they choose the doses for children in studies and making vaccines, they're not weight-based. So I know that question comes up quite a bit about, well, my 12-year-old is actually smaller than my 9-year-old, and why would I give a smaller dose to my younger child or to my older child or my younger child, and kind of parents asking those kinds of questions. And although we dose medications very often based on weight, vaccines are not based on weight, and it's really based on age. And the reason is has more to do with how our immune systems develop. So how, as a child, your immune system is able to handle infection, how it sees vaccines, how it sees the environment that we live in. It has to mature and change over time, and that's a good thing. So we want that dose to really kind of match the child's natural immune system abilities. And around the teenage years, so around that 12-year-old age group, is when we start to get closer to an adult immune system. And under that 12-year-old age group is really where we kind of see more of that child and maturing immune system. So the dose is smaller for the younger children for that reason, which is a good thing. And the dose for the 12 to 17-year-olds is really the same as the adult dose, and that's what has been studied so far with the Pfizer vaccine in particular.
Believe it or don't, we've had some folks start to raise the fertility myth again. It's still not supported by the science. I'll give you an opportunity to reiterate that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There is absolutely no scientific basis for the concern that the COVID vaccine causes any kinds of infertility issues. And in fact, I think I would be more concerned about actually getting COVID and the potential downsides of the damage that the virus can actually do to multiple organ systems, particularly as we get into seeing either adolescents or young women of childbearing age. The virus itself would be much more concerning to me. There is no science at all to support or have concerns about the vaccine causing anything to do with fertility issues. So I think everybody can feel very comfortable to put that one to rest as an internet myth and not true science.
Now, we know that hundreds of kids around here have contracted COVID-19 and gotten over it. So for those people that their kids may have had it, or even if they never did have it, why should a parent get the COVID-19 vaccine? We know that kids don't get that sick from it. Of course, a child's death is extremely rare from COVID-19. Just talk about this sort of balance that goes with accepting the vaccine versus children do well with the disease. And also, they would then have natural antibodies. So that's, you know, kind of the future of this question.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think this has been an important conversation and important questions that, again, parents are asking. I think parents are thoughtful and really want to do the right thing for their child. And I hope that discussions like this can help parents and families really feel comfortable in making the decision or feeling good about the decision that getting their child vaccinated is the right decision for them. And there's a couple of reasons why we want to do that. One is that getting COVID can do a couple of things in children that I think are important to think about. One is that we have seen almost 800 deaths in the United States in children from COVID disease, from infection from COVID. So that's 800 children who have died from an infection that we now have a vaccine to prevent. I understand those numbers are much smaller than those of the adult population, but it's still 800 children who have died in childhood from COVID. We also are seeing an increase in children being hospitalized with COVID. So when we just think about what the infection does and how we think about that, I think it's important to just recognize that. Sometimes it's hard for parents to think about, because maybe all of their friends and family and their own children, they sort of see, well, this looks pretty mild and it's not a big deal. And so I just think it's important to remember that it is happening, even if it's not, right in your family or right in your community that you know about, it is still occurring, that it can cause more severe disease and damage in children. I think in terms of thinking about it from the mild perspective, it's kind of interesting. You know, we don't know a lot about this post-COVID syndrome, so we don't know a lot about how children, even with mild disease, are doing. You know, are they having trouble? Are they tired and having trouble thinking? Are there other cognitive issues? Are there concerns about what the adults are sort of describing as long COVID syndrome? There's a couple of different names now that have been associated with this post-infection period of time. So we're still learning about that. So, and that's occurring even in children who have and adults who have mild symptoms. So I think that's a concern that we have to pay attention to, and there are groups studying that now across the country. The other piece in children that's kind of unique and that we don't really see in the adult population as much is this entity called MISC, or multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, MISC. And this entity is a scary one. It can happen in the 2 to 6 weeks following even a very mild or asymptomatic infection with COVID. And it's a syndrome where a child presents with fever and symptoms that can affect the heart, potentially the lungs, potentially the liver, potentially the kidneys. We have some children come in needing ICU level care with this syndrome called MISC, and they have very high markers of inflammation when we do blood work and we look at other aspects of the syndrome. It is treatable, but it's scary, and children can be quite sick, requiring a lot of medical intervention. So I think this entity of MISC is to me a bit of a scary one, because many of the children that we have seen both here at Geisinger and nationally in the cases reported actually had a very mild initial infection, and sometimes an unknown infection. Parents didn't even realize their child had been infected with COVID in the month or month and a half prior to presenting with this. So far what we know about vaccine is that it seems to, one, it protects against you getting infection, but then therefore it also seems to protect against this entity that can happen in that kind of post-infection time period of about a month or so after infection. So vaccine really is a key to that it's really going to help prevent the child from even getting COVID overall. It's going to decrease the chance that a child can get COVID, and then therefore we're hoping to see this play out over the next year, that we're going to see decreased numbers of MISC. To my knowledge, we have not had MISC cases reported in children who have been vaccinated, as far as I know, at least in what I've seen so far.
Most kids recover, but you, in your words, you're saying don't fool around with this. This is like crossing the street without looking. You might make it across most of the times, but you might not always.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I think it's sort of, I sort of look at it as a bit of rolling the dice, that by kind of being on the fence or maybe not getting your child vaccinated, there is still a decision. Sometimes it's hard for families to say, well, I want to make this decision to get my child vaccinated, and I would say, please do. I want to encourage families to feel good about it, to feel like they're doing the right thing for their child. They're also helping their family. The more people in a family or community that get vaccinated, including the younger children, the less chance that you're going to have high amounts of virus kind of circulating in your own home or in your community or in your group of family and friends. And children are part of that. You know, just like a normal year where we know children go back to school and get runny noses and are sick in the fall and winter, COVID is part of that. So children can have very mild symptoms like runny nose or just a little bit of cough. And maybe a day or two of fever. But if they have COVID, they have risks of some of the things we've talked about already, and they also have a chance to spread that COVID to maybe somebody who might get a lot sicker than even they might, including relatives like, you know, grandparents or aunts and uncles or family members who may have other medical conditions. So by protecting and vaccinating our younger children, not only can we protect them from getting more sick and having some of these issues we've talked about today with COVID infection, we can also help decrease the chance that they actually unknowingly spread COVID to those people that they care about or are important in their lives.
Now, we know it's a double dose, much like adults had for the vaccine. What about a booster down the road for children? Does that sound like something? Kids get other boosters, so is this going to be on that list in the future?
So it's a great question, and I think one that everybody is going to be paying a close attention to, and one that we don't have an answer yet for. I think the important thing as we think about COVID and we're learning about a new virus and a new disease process is that we stay open and honest with the conversations, that we have good discussions about the science that supports what we're doing, and also being transparent about the things that we don't know yet. So I think it's important to talk about the potential for a booster down the road, but we just don't know. That we're going to follow and see how things go and have more data to help support that as time goes on.
Anything else you want to tell us? I didn't ask you. I could probably come up with 20 more questions, but time is limited. So anything you think it's important to tell us that I didn't ask?
I would just like to reiterate the key piece that I really hope that parents and families will feel confident and comfortable in making the decision to get their children who are eligible for vaccine, so now it's children 5 years of age and older, to really go out and get the COVID vaccine and feel good about it and feel like they're protecting their children, they're protecting their family, and they're really making the right decision. As we do this and deal with the pandemic, it's been a stressful time for everyone, and we want to do things to not only stay safe from our health, but also do things to help our communities and our lives sort of feel a little bit more normal. We're heading into the holiday seasons. And so the more we can do to protect ourselves and our families, the better. And we should really feel good about doing that. So get vaccinated, wash your hands, wear a mask to help protect each other in the process, and really help to support our families and communities. And keep asking the good questions, and I hope that we can keep these open kind of dialogues. I really appreciate being able to talk about this today.
Dr. Jennifer Vodzak is a division director for pediatric infectious diseases at Geisinger and the director of pediatric quality and safety at Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. Thank you so much for your time and the opportunity to ask these questions.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate being able to join you today and look forward to more discussions in the future. Thanks so much.